So the big question is this. How do entrepreneurial salespeople like us, who have traditionally sold alone and used gut and intuition to hit their number, take their innate talents and begin selling using science, technology, and the secrets of thousands who have done it before to crush their quota and change the world? That is the question, and this podcast provides the answer. Welcome, everybody, to the Sales Secrets Podcast. We're going. We got a meet. Welcome. We're going to be talking about business development today, tips, tricks from the man himself. Amit was one of the winners of our top sales development. We did awards for thought leaders, leaders, and reps. Amit joined an exclusive class. Wasn't that a great group of people? I mean, those were some great leaders, Amit. And guys, we had almost 20,000 votes. I mean, this wasn't like... me just randomly, licking my finger and kind of choosing. I've done that in the past, but there was enough there to actually go at this. So congratulations, first off, of me, because I do think it's no small task to be recognized by, friends, peers, colleagues, and get it to where, again, we're not talking about tens of votes. We're talking about hundreds and in some cases, thousands. So again, congratulations on that.
Thanks, kid.
Totally,
you definitely learn who your friends are in that process.
Yeah, I love it. So that's number one. But we're going to talk about business development today. And to do that, we brought on Amit Gill. He is currently the head of business development at a company called Digital Brew. So, Amit, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of what you do over there at Digital Brew?
Fantastic. Yeah, not a problem. Thanks, Kate. Basically, Digital Brew, we're a full in-house animation studio, video production team here in Orlando.
Yep.
Been here 8 years, touting 16 Emmys, just picked up two more this past year.
Love it.
Rocking and rolling with all kinds of brands from startups to fintech, martech. You think of it, we've probably worked with that kind of brand, consumer brands, you name it. Anyway, solving problems through video. My role with the company is head of business development. Basically came on board about 3.5 years ago, just as as a consultant, if you will. The owner of Digital Brew is an artist. He's a creative director.
Yep,
and
yep.
And he's, like Michael Gerber says, he's the technician with an entrepreneurial seizure. And one
I
day
love
decides
that. I love that.
He wants to go become, I'm going to go do this for myself. And through his journey, and I was able to come into his life at the perfect time where I saw that he was kind of like, look, man, I'm doing a great job here, but this is not my core competency. Very humble, very straight guy, Michael Cardwell. Not straight like the other. I just mean like he's just straightforward. He lets me know exactly where his problems are. And we were able to turn Digital Brew around from $500,000 when I came on board, where we're now touting $2.5 million this past year. And we're going to be pushing, hopefully, this year to 3 million zone.
I love
it. We're
really
excited with the growth that we've been able to do.
Congrats, man. Yeah, fast growth and kind of a cool little idea and company. We'll have to get your opinion on video here in just a minute. So let's dive into the conversation. I mean, obviously been doing business development. You've got kind of a fast growing company. You take a step back and you and I were kind of talking this pre-show. Sounds like you've had mentors who've kind of talked to you about things you need to do in order to be successful. Let's start there. I mean, what is some of the foundational pieces of being successful in a role like this?
Great question. And it's a hard question to answer all at once, but obviously, to give you the short answer, it always falls back to when I first broke my teeth in this business.
Yep.
I came out of college. I had always been told I was great. Amit, you got the gift of the gab. Amit, you need to do the sales presentation. I was always the guy who got away with not doing all the studying and was like, hey, if you do the presentation, people hated doing presentation. That was like I couldn't believe that in college. I was like, okay, great. I'll go and talk about this.
Yeah, totally.
And so when I got into my first sales job or professional sales role, process was everything.
Yeah.
And understanding process and how from a buyer comes from start to finish. And it's funny, I didn't get that as a young recruit. I fought it teeth and nail. They gave me a script. They said, you've got to say this script till you're blue in the face. These words need to come out of your ears.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is the tried and true. They spent 20 years doing this. They said, we're the masters at this. This was a sales training company, by the way, Gabe. This was a sales training company where I had to sell car dealers sales training over the phone for the phone.
Wow.
It was a crazy company, unbelievable experience. I learned so much that I never knew about myself and people. Buyers are liars. I had a priest lie to me one time. Anyways, but I, am I answering your question?
Yeah, no. So I like, let me just dovetail off that for a second. So you mentioned this idea of kind of, you know, actually you were forced to, you know, understand kind of beginning to end, buyer to close. And then you mentioned this idea of kind of really following an idea or a script or kind of a best practice, but you fought it for a while. Is that something you gave into? Do you find that there's value in that type of concept or not really?
It's, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want you to be scripted.
Yeah.
Okay. But you got to learn something at some point to start somewhere.
Sure.
Everything in our lives is taught to us. Your dad taught you how to walk, or your mom, or you learned some words. And you had to learn those words, like thank you and please.
Right.
There's certain, I like your book, your short ebook, Sales Cadence book.
Yeah.
Sales Cadence talks about you've got to have certain tools in your tool belt for certain situations. And if you're trying to reinvent the wheel, you're a young hotshot, maybe you got the gift of gab, maybe people love you and your family and your friend circle and they think you're the greatest. But guess what? When you go in the business world, nobody knows you from Adam.
Yeah.
And you ain't some hotshot gift of the gab kid.
I can't argue that. So sometimes it's good to start with something and find your way off of it. I feel like in sales, I'm actually more of a fan of, you know, starting with a proven strategy and then making it your own. So I can't argue too much with that. I want to jump around here a little bit. This concept of video, I mean, you're in the video world now, you know, from a company standpoint, but, you know, video and sales is fairly hot. Any best practices you've seen there, strategies, trends that would be interesting for the audience to kind of know as we think about video in general and then video and sales?
Yeah, great question. I break it down to the big three, I call them.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, every brand goes through discovery of video at some point. They say, what kind of video we need? What are we going to use for top of funnel website? What are we using for the sales guys in the field? What are we using here and there, right?
Yep.
Well, every situation is a different attention span.
Yep.
Just like Gabe, you were telling me earlier, you don't remember the name of the show you've been watching, but you've been watching it for the whole season and you don't know, right? Because there's a different type of audience there. I need to get to you with a different type of message for you to know what I'm talking about. So, right?
It's true. So, we were debating, just so the audience knows, we were debating pre-show. He was asking me if I'd seen any flicks lately, and there's a Netflix series that my wife is. I still can't remember it. Anyways, he was saying, "Do you like it?" And I'm like, "We're a whole season in." I don't remember the title. I'm usually just kind of tipping on my keyboard on my laptop. I've found it to be interesting, but to your point, I kind of pop in and out. So that's what he was referencing, was my lack of understanding. But I do think the show is bearable enough that I tune in here and there. So back to you and me.
But there was a scene where the guy's at home and you could relate to it. You're like, oh, that guy's at home just like me working away, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
It's all about the audience. So that video needs to speak to the audience. So if it's an Instagram video, short attention span.
Yep.
15 seconds, 8 seconds. YouTube, pre-roll, you got 15 seconds.
Yep.
So you got to think about where is the medium being played and then how do I leverage that time with them to say, here's your problem, I get it, and I can solve it right now. Call me.
Yeah.
And that's it. But do it trustfully, and you have to, you know, with trust impact messaging and use case videos. So the big three, back to big three. I broke it down to this, Gabe. You need a brand story, which tells your legacy, who your top down your company is, who the major players are that make your company awesome.
Okay.
Then you need your success story, which is for the sales guys to go out there and say, look, don't take my opinion for it. Just watch the video.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, so that's kind of where
you... Nothing more powerful.
Yeah. Do you... when you say brand story, click into that. I mean, how do you do that? Walk me through that a little more.
Cool. So we've got the brand story, which we shoot like a full-length short, docu-short. It's like 3 to 5 minutes of your brand. So it'd be like me coming out to InsideSales.com, for a full day shoot with a crew, and we'd pull organically from the top down, kind of the magic that makes InsideSales.com amazing and what it does for its clients that's unique and different, right? And the legacy piece there. And also the big part of a brand story is, Gabe, and you know this more than I do, I think, is that based on your experience, people, they buy people.
Right.
Yeah. So having that brand story shows who's involved, who the awesome people are, and to like them, they know them, you trust them. And then the closing tool is the success reel, where it's then your actual use case of your clients, the successful clients, the ones that are doing the thing, the proverbial thing, whatever the service or product is that you give them that gives them magic. That's what we should be highlighting in the success reel. Third element.
Okay.
That's it. And then the third one's the explainer video. So you got brand story,
Success reel. Explainer video. And they're all how long typically? I mean, pretty short, you were saying, or?
Yeah, the success reel and brand stories are more personal touch for longer attention spans. So they're longer. They're like 2 to 3 minutes. Maybe some of them are 3 to 5 minutes, depending on the industry and depending on the audience and where you're playing it. And then the shorter ones are like the explainer videos. And if you're doing any type of advertising, you know, shorter is better. Less is more.
Interesting. And you want to start it, like you said, you had 15 seconds to start. So you got to jump right into, can't be like, I'm Gabe Larson, I'm at Insight. I mean, it's got to be like direct to the point. You know, have you ever experienced not hitting your number? Well, it's like an infomercial, basically.
I mean, kind of, yeah, in a fancy way.
Like, I mean, those work. I mean, I say that with all due respect. I mean, that's one of the great things about them. And those guys start catchy, right? Like, have you ever experienced your home falling apart? And you're like, well, yeah, I have, actually. Who is saying that? But my point is you need to start catchy, right? So you kind of jump into it, and it's fairly quick.
The problem.
Mm-hmm. The problem statement.
It's the problem statement, exactly. Mm. Like, Gabe, remember Neil Rackman, Spin?
Yes, yeah, of course.
Spin Selling?
Of course.
I love that book. So it's exactly that, actually. If you just take that formula for sales, you apply that to the best commercials that really convert high-value sales, they spend a lot of time in the situation, the problem, the impact of that problem, and then the need to solve that problem, especially like environmental or .org type videos.
Yep.
A lot of emotion has to be expressed, and they have to see, like, how important is the wall? Let me show you. If Donald Trump made an explainer video about why the wall was so important, then people might actually believe him. Mm. They'd be like, you know what? They get it now. I showed them the explainer video. It's fabulous. That's all it took. The wall, don't worry, Nancy loves it. The explainer video's here. That's all it would take. He just doesn't have me working for him.
That's right, man. That's what he needs. So how do you translate this? I mean, sounds like this is something you guys kind of mastered. I like this concept, brand, success, explainer. How do you start to think, or how do you start to use either these types of assets or other types of video assets in sales? I mean, you know, you guys are video based. Have you found a way to kind of translate that into your own process to kind of get people to view it? Or what would you say to a sales rep wanting to think about using video?
If your company's got some cool tools, like cool marketing collateral videos, or maybe you produce something on your own of your client's success, you could get like easily from, you know, overseas or anywhere local, you can get these like cool video brochures made with that actually have like all your branding on them, your company name. And then we'll go in person and I'll just literally show them, hey, here, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And I'll eliminate the whole stuttering and like, my name's Amit. I am from Orlando.
Yeah.
Can I throw up on you? You know, here, like, just, this is what I do, dude.
So, but you are a fan. I mean, you are a believer. However you can start to inject that into the sales process, you got to do it. You got to do it.
And you have a confidence behind it. Like, you can't go into the meeting with a Fiverr video and be like, oh, dude, this is the best video. Like, you got to have some cool quality stuff. I mean, either it's going to be a video, Gabe, or it's going to be a really cool presentation in a box or a PowerPoint.
Yeah.
It's got to be something to get them, hey, we mean business and we want, you know, we want you to pay attention.
Interesting, interesting. So if someone's nervous about kind of diving into the world of video, is there something you'd say, look, I mean, you just have to, or, let me start here, actually. Why do you feel like people are not using video in the sales process?
Great. I love that question. Commoditization might be a reason, might be a commoditized market where a lot of industries, believe it or not, want more, but they're successful in spite of themselves. They've some of the big tyrant companies where they've grown so fast, they haven't really had to do much with their marketing.
Yeah,
they're kind of commoditized. They just, people need them and people come to them. So then they suffer in that. I think that's where. Am I answering your question?
Yeah. I'm trying to think, okay. Why would people not do this? You're around them a lot. What are they saying? Like, no, I don't want to do it. It's not worth it. Scary.
I'm getting calls every day. Startups are getting it.
Yeah.
Tech companies are getting it. MarTech, FinTech, they get it.
Yep.
I get calls all day from MarTech, FinTech, anything tech.
Yeah.
The ones that don't get it seem to be commoditized. We know. I used to work in a car business. We know that they just don't see the value in it because they go, yeah. Well, we got great cars, great service, and come on down. They don't get it, except for maybe a couple of cool car automotive groups who crush it. Look at Johnson Automotive Group. Remember that? The trunk chimpanzee?
No.
Do you remember? There was a viral commercial. You got to look it up. Trunk chimpanzee.
Okay.
Where they just, it was genius car commercials. So like, or the honey badger, Johnson Automotive. We won't badger you here at Johnson Automotive. And it was a badger in like a Muppets outfit. That's thinking the video like fun. That's actually doing some cool video.
Yeah.
Like you're just going to be like, oh, I've been here for 30 years and this is the greatest thing ever. Like, no, we already know that's problems. The greatest thing.
Yeah. Interesting, man. No, I like it. I like it. As we kind of wrap here, we talked a little bit about this idea of just getting kind of steady and making sure you understand where you are and getting. I like this concept of a script. Again, I keep coming back to that. We jumped over to video a little bit. I always like to have a third, tip. If you're trying to kind of optimize your business development function, don't be afraid to maybe start with some structure. Video, don't be afraid of it. What's kind of that third thing on your mind that you'd say to people you got to be thinking about?
I'm really surprised by how little people take the time to think about what the situation is on the other phone before they start pitching product.
So kind of the preparation type of thing.
Yeah, before I get started into my intro, I always start with, hey, what's going on your end, and how can I make this customized for you? Like, can I be your Google, basically?
Yeah.
Because that's at the end of the day. They'd rather you just be a Google, right? But you have to talk to the dreaded salesperson, dun-dun-dun.
Right.
It's just becomes like this, like, oh, no, do I have to get on a phone call? Like, yes, unfortunately, just so I can walk you through at least some examples and set you on your way. Right, I just want to leave you better than I found you, and that's a word track my first mentor taught me. He says, I always want to leave my clients better than I found them. So we would start every conversation is, friends, today certainly I'd like to learn about you, give you a little background on us. At the end of this, if we're not a good fit, we'll shake hands, and I'll at least leave you better than I found you. Fair enough. That was every single conversation he ever had. He was a 6+ figure salesperson for many companies. And that was the ease. That's how we broke that pressure.
Yeah. So you were able to diffuse some of the pressure, but also just preparation and kind of preparing for it, and knowing who you're talking to and how best to talk to them.
Yeah, and having that's the process, right?
Yeah.
Knowing your process, knowing what is it that makes people feel good. It's like when you're a good waiter knows his process. He knows he needs to get the napkin down the table within a minute of you sitting down, so that at least he's greeted you, or at least he's going to come back.
Yeah.
Right. There's a process. And then this is the thing, Gabe, I left sales. I'll leave on this. I left sales for about the better half of 5 years to rediscover that I wanted to get back into sales.
Yeah.
I hated it after getting my brainwashed, beaten in the head and giving me a script, say this, say like that. And he would pick up the phone and chime in right when I said the wrong word.
Really?
Oh, and he'd be looking at me. Oh, yeah. I'd be like,
wow.
Hey, dude, I know you're off script. You're way off script, dude. So let's get back on the horse here.
Wow.
And I was like, damn it. That's why can't
awesome.
I have a conversation with someone, right? But
that's awesome.
And I left that thing. I hate this. So I went into chefing. I became a cook. I worked with Darden. I became one of their chef training programs. I was like, I'll be a career chef. I don't have to talk to no one. I just deal with an oven all day.
Right,
but
right.
It was about 2 years into this, Gabe, 2 years of cutting onions at a 50-pound bag of onions in front of me one morning, and I'm sitting there and chopping onions, and it hit me in the face. It hit me in the face what he was talking about. I didn't understand what he meant. You don't get it. Because I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Sales process, once you ingrain that in you, it takes time for it to actually make sense. It's like learning all this curriculum, and you have all this knowledge, but you don't know what the heck it means.
Yeah. Interesting.
It took me cutting onions, making $9.95 an hour. Or was it $12 an hour? Sorry, Darden. $12 an hour. Cutting onions, realized this is the same thing. I'm cutting onions to prep for the process, the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
to get it to the service. The presentation was silent, but it was a plate that I had to present. It's the same thing. And what was the close? How was your dinner? Was everything okay? What did you think about my service today? And that's the same thing I approach every conversation, beginning to end. Serviette, merci beaucoup. Where are you from? Hey, I noticed you're in Utah. How's it out there? You like to ski, Gabe?
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing. Restaurants, back and forth. Anyways, I hope that I helped give some good information.
I love it, man. I love it. Yeah, I think those are some good tips. And certainly you found a way to kind of be successful. You definitely have a gift for the gab, man. Best of luck in your future endeavors. And for the audience, remember, success is just one play away.
Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota. Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota.